From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Most Washington voters think that building more housing won't cool prices, and they are totally wrong about that. Trump says that Jewish Americans who are not in favor of Israel need a talking to. They should be spoken to, which is a weird mob-ism. You know what I mean?
Need a good talk. I don't know how what he means by that. Need a good talking to.
That's from The Godfather.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll speak to him, right? That's that's not what that actually means.
He's going
to
make Jews an offer they can't refuse?
Exactly.
Is that his plan?
You know, Trump moderating on abortion is Biden's worst nightmare, according to this crazy person over at Newsweek who doesn't understand politics whatsoever. But maybe we should talk. Laura had this story in the pre-show, and I didn't want to do it because I was like, I am so tired of talking about abortion. You have no idea. And now I'm looking at the talking heads on CNN. I'm looking at Mark Kelly, senator from Arizona, a man who I would proudly vote for if he ran for the presidency.
Right on.
He seems like a very sane person, even though he's a Democrat. He seems like a very sane individual.
Generous of you.
And, well, he's a leftist, right? And I hate leftism so much, but I would vote for him because he seems like a pretty reasonable guy. Outside, and what I mean by that, some of his policies are a little kooky, but he doesn't seem like an insane person. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I
feel like I could talk to him about space and whatnot, and I feel like he would make a fine president. But that's besides the point. So this law in Arizona is kicking in about abortion. It's a law from 1864, which the Arizona Supreme Court has decided to uphold. Now, if you don't remember, 1864 was, you know, when the Civil War ended. So,
and Arizona was still, if I'm not mistaken, part of Mexico.
Yeah. So, you know, really you're reaching, grasping at straws there. But I just think it's really interesting how the rhetoric around abortion in the United States has morphed. It's gone in this weird direction, right? It's gone from it could be in the realm of science and medicine and potentially saving lives, albeit at the cost of another life. But that's besides the point. You know, we could talk about it in that space, but we don't. We talk about it as if it is a form of birth control, which I think is maybe the worst way to talk about it. Like the way that I prefer to talk about it. A friend of mine, deeply religious Catholic, she desperately wanted to get pregnant.
Right.
But every time she tried to get pregnant, there was some complication where it was, you got to terminate the pregnancy.
Yeah, yeah,
baby's not going to be viable, right? So it would be born like, there would be to get really technical with it, she has a thing where every time she would try to get pregnant, the baby would get to about 4 or 5 months, and then it would start to develop a sac of fluid right at the base of the skull.
Horrible for mom.
And it would separate the head from the body.
Oh.
So that technically the fetus was viable up until it would be faced with, you know, gravity, at which point it would become decapitated.
Yeah.
So she had to terminate 5 pregnancies, not because she wanted to, but because that was best to end the suffering of that baby. Now, she's since gone on to have 2 kids. She's very, very happy. But we don't talk about abortion like that because that makes people sad, right? What people want to talk about is that you're using it for birth control and you're killing the unborn. We got to save the unborn. We got to do blah, blah. Yeah. And it ends up in that realm of conversation. So we're not talking about the complexity of the gestation of a human being. We're talking about my fifis and how I fifi about whatever, as opposed to actual science.
And, you know, you talk about the Arizona senator and we vote for him for president. This may swing Arizona, this 1864 rule where a doctor could be put in jail for performing this service.
Yeah.
You know, where there's the life of the mother's being accounted for. If that's when they'll be allowed in this the Civil War era law from Arizona. But rape and incest not included, sold separately.
Of course.
In this particular law.
Why would we ever want to include something like that?
You know, right, we're circling the wagons around our point of view. We're not talking about it as a society based in science or medicine even. We're circling our wagons around our theological, ideological points of view on this issue.
Yeah, a lot of Americans, let me be really delicate about this. This is going to upset Laura because Laura hates it when I do this. But I'm going to do it anyway, Laura, for the good of the people, I will say this. But I'll put the sappy music underneath it to make it nice. Most Americans are lazy. They are lazy, and as a result of that, they are stupid. So when you try to talk about things like, what does it mean to gestate a human being inside of another human being's body? They think about it like, well, the stork comes, and when two people love each other very much, he asks mommy and daddy what kind of baby they want, and they say a boy or a girl. And then 9 months later, he flies back in and he drops off a beautiful. Most Americans can't talk about sex. They can't talk about gestation periods. They can't talk about genetic anomalies. They can't talk about any of that stuff because that's spooky, scary science, and that's the devil's work. And unfortunately, as a result of that, we are left with a society that is okay with these kinds of laws being passed or coming through because they are reactionaries. Because again, it is much simpler to be a reactionary and lazy and stupid than it is to actually talk about this in a complex way. Was that good, Laura? Was that good or was that too insulting?
Actually, I would have added the hillbilly accent.
Thank you. I took it away. I took it away a little bit there. Because,
I don't think we needed to lose it. I think we can turn that back
I think
in.
We could bring it back.
Wow. It was an attempt to be kinder, gentler. It was nice. The music helped.
Mama said she got... Listen, I was born out in Clea Ellum, and my mama told me that when she met my daddy, they loved each other very much. They're a big old fan of John Curley on Evening Magazine.
He always gives them the best advice. Said, you might want to get babyfied? Marry that woman.
Just screw yourself.
Hi,
Thank you, John. God love you.
But, I mean, it's a sad fact of life. Like, you can look at I don't know how many different issues, and people have no idea what they're talking about. Like, when we talk about abortion, people have no idea what we're talking about. I'll give you another example. When Governor Inslee bought all that mifepristone, right? A lot of people were saying that is a dangerous abortion drug that's literally killing people. I heard that commentary all over the place. The top three most common uses for mifepristone are pregnancies that have already been terminated,
that's
meaning
right.
Someone who has already spontaneously miscarried and they need to use that drug to literally save their lives. That's why he bought it. But all these crazy people out there don't even bother to read the medical literature on that drug because they don't care. And that's the issue with the United States. Like, if you really cared about things like transgender medicine, abortion, any of these hot button issues, you would imagine that you would spend ballpark it 15 minutes doing a cursory Google search. But most people don't because they are lazy. And as a result, they are stupid. And then when I bring it up, they don't have any counter arguments. Look at the comments section. But if you are a listener of the show, look at the comments section in our YouTube channel. Look at how many counter arguments there are. Two, maybe, out of thousands of comments. People don't offer counter arguments. They call me a lib or they call Spike whatever, or they make fun of something. They don't have the ability to discourse because they are lazy. And as a result, they are stupid. And then when you call that out, people say, well, you're an elitist, Jack, and you're blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, OK, I'm elitist. I'm an elitist because when I don't understand something, I go to Google and I go abortion, medicine, procedures or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then I read about it and then I go, oh, mifepristone. The first three uses of it are for pregnancies that have already had spontaneous miscarriages, which is very sad, but it's a very effective drug in saving the life of the mother. Isn't that so great? Thanks, Governor Inslee. Most people don't want to do that.
It's one thing when John Clueless Public doesn't want to do the research and just wants to get his opinion from somewhere else. How about when a judge in Texas decides he doesn't want to do any medical research either? Or any scientific research. And talking about a drug that's unsafe, that's been on the market for close to 30 years, that is a key medical resource for women who, like you said, have already experienced miscarriage and want to be safely ushered through that thanks to the modern medicine and science.
Well, I'll give you another example really quick before we move on to Washington voters think that building more housing won't cool prices. In the transgender debate, when we talk about hormone blockers for children, people often point to Lupron. It's the primary marquee drug for that, right? Okay. And so people will say, they chemically castrate these kids with Lupron because Lupron is used to chemically castrate sex offenders in jail. If you look at Lupron, do you know what the number one use for Lupron is?
I don't.
Prostate cancer.
Prostate cancer. I should know about that because I'm talking at my age. Seriously, at my age, that's what I'm going to be looking at.
So I go on Facebook and I see people saying, we need to ban Lupron. And I'm thinking, okay, so we're going to take away one of the most effective treatments for the drug for the disease that kills an unbelievable amount of men every year. That's very wise. Like, this is the input that I get from my fellow Americans. I don't read. I don't care. I'm reactionary. I'm lazy. And as a result, I am stupid. There is a great poll that demonstrates this. Most Washington voters think that building more housing won't cool prices. This is not true. This is absolutely 100% not true. A sizable majority of respondents, 65%, said they believed housing costs would continue to climb regardless of construction. So let's go into basic economic theory, shall we, everyone?
Sure.
Basic economic theory. When there is more of something, it is cheaper. That's your lesson of the day.
That's that supply and demand thing my eighth grade teacher tried to tell me about, right?
So I'll give you guys a really quick example. In my apartment complex, there are several units which have been vacant for quite some time. Okay. They're on the top floor.
Oh.
The price for those units have dropped every month that they sit vacant because they want to get people into those units. So when people say more construction won't result in, you know, cooling off prices, you are indeed wrong about that. You are wrong. 26% said that building more units would help stabilize housing prices, and 9% said they didn't know. Those people, that 9%, are the geniuses amongst us. And I would like to salute them for being proud Americans, because that's what you say when you legitimately have not read into it. I don't know, right? Laura, ask me about the Jurassic period in the United States. What was going on in the United States?
What was going on in the United States?
During the Jurassic period. I have no idea. I haven't read into it. All I know is that there were mosquitoes and they were biting dinosaurs, and then eventually Attenborough's older brother
got stuck in amber.
They got stuck in amber, and then David Attenborough's older brother found that, and then he mixed it with frog DNA so they would all be girls, and then he put them all on an island, and then Sam Neill showed up with Laura Dern, who was hired because she can scream so well. Isn't that a great movie?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it sounds like you know a little something.
I mean, but I know nothing about the anatomy of dinosaurs. Why can't people just break it down in that way and be a little bit more honest, I suppose, right?
Well, anytime you're basing your information on what people think, come on.
Right.
Come on. Well, yeah. You know, the economy's bad because people keep telling me the economy's bad. So right. I guess the economy's bad because this guy says he thinks the economy's bad.
Yeah, Woo! Exactly. It's kind of like with the used car market, where during COVID, the prices for used cars went up dramatically because people started buying used cars, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, post-COVID, you'll notice that people started offloading cars that they don't want anymore, and then the cost drops. It's a very basic principle within economics. Trump says that Jewish Americans who vote for Biden don't love Israel and should be spoken to. These are strong words from an interesting person in politics that's also very mob boss-esque. It's almost like threatening those poor people. He said any Jewish person that votes for Biden does not love Israel and, frankly, should be spoken to. How should they be spoken to? With short sentences, mayhap? Short?
They should be shown the error of their ways. And told to come back to the fold, because only Donald Trump, who moved the embassy to Jerusalem, really is the guy who cares about Israel. Joe Biden hates Israel.
Even though he just approved that funding for Israel
two weeks ago?
Yeah, he did. But he approved that funding for like 2 weeks ago. He signed it off. I mean, I just don't really. It's a very confusing statement here from former President Donald Trump. This is as bad as when Biden said, if you vote for Trump, you're not really black. That's as bad as that statement.
I'll give you that. Yeah, that's a pretty good comp. Trump said, you know, Jewish and black Americans vote for Democrats by habit.
Mm.
They're uninformed. They're not voting because it's the right thing to do. That's just it's a habit.
Well, I think, okay, so one of the things I think the conservative movement needs to, like, wake up to is you can't go to an inner city kid, a black kid, and say, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you're going to make it out of the projects just through sheer force of will. Because a lot of those kids they don't take in that message. Do you know what I mean? Messaging doesn't work on those kids. And that is why I think so many black Americans steer away from voting for the GOP, because all too often the messaging is kind of demeaning and it doesn't actually look at the circumstances in which many black Americans or Hispanic Americans or many white Americans live in, right? It's kind of hard to go to the Ozarks and tell somebody who's making $24,000 a year that they got to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, kids believe what they see and what they look at. They don't see any examples of people working harder and getting through.
Yeah.
You know, getting a better life just because they worked from sunup till sundown. They see people working 2-3 jobs and still not getting anywhere.
He says a lot of it's habit. Jewish people by habit, they just vote for the Democrats, and black people by habit vote for the Democrats. So if we look at the most prominent conservative commentators out there, just list a few.
Oh,
Dennis Prager, Ben Shapiro, Mark Levine.
Yep. Would you still call Tucker one of those people, even though he's gone
Jewish?
Off No. I'm mentioning
Jewish.
I thought it was my conservative commentators. I mean, I apologize.
The Orthodox Jewish community is intensely conservative, so I don't think that Trump actually knows what he's talking about when he talks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the Orthodox Jewish community, they are overwhelmingly vote for the GOP by demographics. But of course, that would take reading. And when you are lazy, you are stupid. And as a result of that, you don't actually read into the demographic breakdown of how people vote. So his latest comments echo remarks he made last month that earned swift condemnation from Biden's administration and reelection campaign. It is it's truly sad to see how low Donald Trump will stoop with some of his comments. I saw a clip of him actually from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
He's much more eloquent, erudite. He's got a lot more clarity, much more rapacious. He's got a loquacious.
Yeah, he talks better. I get you. I'm following along on all that. But he's not trying anymore to bring people into the tent.
I'm talking about his vocabulary as a whole. Like now it's
the nuts and bolts of how he makes a sentence.
That's what I'm talking about. Is that he's having a really difficult time compared to how eloquent he was, albeit 8 years ago.
Well, that's important 8 years for a guy in his 60s at the time. Now he's in his late 70s. Nobody is the same as they were 8 years ago at that stage of their life.
John Curley's 88 years old. He's sharp as a tack.
Every day, too.
I mean, if you Google John Curley. Hi, John.
Go screw yourself.
We're going to talk to John in like 40 minutes. He's very, very excited to come on. Trump is also, there was this piece in Newsweek. It was an opinion piece that was saying that Trump moderating on abortion is Biden's worst nightmare. This is maybe one of the worst pieces of analysis that I have ever seen in my life. Basically, this writer is a guy who used to work for the Heritage Foundation, Juan Villasmil.
Mm-hmm.
And the crux of his argument is that people will believe Donald Trump on abortion, but they don't. So I don't really understand why you would say that Trump moderating on abortion is in any way, shape, or form Biden's worst nightmare, because Biden has a track record of being very pro-choice,
mm-hmm.
and Trump has a track record of being very I'm going to get pro-life justices in the Supreme Court, and I'm going to do this for you. So this argument relies on people who are ignorant, who care enough about abortion to want to vote a particular way for a candidate, but are not literate enough to understand which candidate has done what for which side of the argument. What an awful opinion piece from this person.
It's just based on the fact that Trump didn't come out for a national abortion ban yesterday.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And every network said the same thing. Trump says it's state-by-state decision, right? That's kind of giving him a soft landing for this point of view where he said it's a state-by-state decision, which means some states you have no rights.
Yeah.
In Florida now you have 6 weeks, which most people, there's not even a heartbeat monitor or a detectable in 6 weeks. A lot of women don't know they're pregnant by 6 weeks.
Right.
You could have said Trump comes out and supports the most extreme abortion views in the country. But no, they give him a soft landing. And this guy hears it. I didn't call for a national ban.
Yeah.
Oh, no, because that's all Biden had to run on. That's his worst nightmare.
Biden's worst nightmare is either a teleprompter or a set of stairs. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, Biden's worst nightmare is a bicycle.
Anything after 3 p.m.
Biden's worst nightmare is being double-fisted with ice cream and not knowing which interviewer is speaking to him and not knowing what to do with the second cone of ice cream. Do you know what I mean?
I hear you.
Biden's worst nightmare is finding a baggie of cocaine in the rotunda.
Oh, Hunter. Hunter. Sometimes a strong sun is by because he looks like it's like Clint Eastwood in a Western.
Biden's worst nightmare is a MacBook with water damage that was sent in for repairs. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? What's Biden's worst nightmare is when Jill Biden is like
not there to tell him which way to walk at the end of a sentence. Yes. Alone on stage.
Biden's worst nightmare is this phrase. You ready for this? Pardon me, Mr. President. Do you have a moment for a quick question?
No, sir. Over here. Oh, yeah. It's not Trump's position.
Yeah, please, you guys. What are you doing here? We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Everett is going to vote on confirming dress codes for bikini baristas after a settlement. Why do we need bikini baristas? Why do we need them in Everett? I don't know, but we shall analyze this when we get back right after this.
I witnessed what I believe to have been a UFO.
Or based.
When the aliens come, I should be the ambassador for Earth. I still think that after nearly a year since I said that, I still think that I should be the ambassador for Earth. Because when the aliens come, they're going to want to talk to somebody who's cool, level-headed, funny, charming, got the sad browns, you know what I mean?
They
got the boy, hollow cheeks, chiseled jaw, six-pack abs, things that everybody loves, right, Laura?
So, Spike.
Yeah!
Laura, I'll talk to you after the show. I'll talk to you after the show, Laura, about, you know, looking for a new producer and all that jazz. So Everett is going to vote on confirming dress codes for bikini baristas after a settlement. Now, this is annoying to me because I don't understand why we need bikini baristas in the first place. I don't understand why we would encourage businesses, which are largely these tiny drive-through stands with employees wearing bikinis or scantily clad clothing. I think that it's weird. I think it's sexualizing things that don't necessarily need to be sexualized. And the amount of assaults that have occurred to these women pretty high.
Yep.
And so now we're all going to vote on something that probably shouldn't exist within the first place. Now, a former owner, he claimed that the dress code ordinance in Everett infringed on their First Amendment rights, and a U.S. district judge court agreed with that. I'm not talking about having the law come down and preventing this.
Okay.
I'm just talking about culturally.
Oh, no, okay.
If you are a man and you think to yourself, I'm going to go see the bikini baristas, there's something wrong with you. That's a schism in your life, where you are so preoccupied with sexual attraction that you are willing to go out of your way to go to a bikini barista so that you can gawk like she's one of the posters in that Motley Crue music video.
Sure.
You know I'm a dreamer, hard gold. I had to run away, get down low.
That's exactly who is working that stand,
that's,
too.
That's my point.
Exactly.
And the guy's in his car.
Yeah.
I'm on my way. And he's like, thank you so much for this $8 espresso latte.
Here's at least $5 in tips.
Home sweet home. Right? And he's driving away 8:00 in the morning. This is like, why do we have to have so many losers in the United States who are into that kind of thing?
So your goal is to change human nature? That's where you're going to cut the problem off right at its knees there?
Okay, Spike, you know I don't look at pornography because I think
it's weird.
I know
you don't. No,
it's
cool.
Right?
I know.
And the reason that I don't look at it is not because I'm trying to undercut my desire or whatever it is for the ladies, because you guys know me. I'm a bit of a Peter Weller. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
there?
Buddy.
I'm a bit of a buckaroo bonsai when it comes to the ladies.
The ladies called top shelf.
but what I think is that we have an over-sexualized society to the point where we dilute what romance and love and sex are intrinsically, right? Which is a connective activity. And when we separate it and when we make it weird, whether it's through pornography or bikini baristas, we are effectively doing a version of what sexuality is, but it's perverse and distorted. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. I'm with you. Problem is that the sex work is a thing that's legal, that is accepted by society, even right to the detriment of our probably growth as a species. And that's why I think they should talk to you when the aliens come and not the people who put the laws in place. But, you know, there's a First Amendment right. They lost a case up in Everett because they said that the rule that said you can't work in a bikini or less was disproportionately affecting women's ability to earn a living than men's, and there's validity to that, right?
Does anybody know a bikini barista personally? Because I would love to talk to one of these young ladies for personal reasons, for research reasons. Laura, get your mind out of the gutter, Laura. Jeez, I see the way that you're looking at me right now.
Have you not been following along?
I'm just talking about wanting to chat, maybe over coffee, maybe dinner, maybe one thing leads to another. I'm not making any. Laura, you're making this huge narrative over my desire to interview one of these
ladies.
I don't
think you're spinning the narrative all by yourself right now.
I just feel the judgment. Andrew, you're judging me as well. Look at your face.
Always.
Why is all this judgment? I just want to talk to him. Maybe get him a nice fur coat. Mink, maybe. I don't know. I like to give gifts. Come on, you guys. Get your minds out of the gutter.
You're a giver.
I'm a
by
giver.
By nature.
I'm a giver, and I care about women.
So Everett's going to decide if they can wear less than shorts and tank top. That's what the city. That's what's going to be deemed public, appropriate public attire.
Right.
I mean, this is a step below a strip club.
Yeah, that's right? My problem with it. Man.
No, I'm with you. But if we're going to accept strip clubs in our communities and say that's a place where certain elements of society can go and let off a little steam, maybe there's a good side to being able to do that. These stands where girls work in, I've seen theme days at some of these stands where it's Bikinis would be a step up for a lot of these places.
So where's the line where we say, could we have, I don't know, bikini funeral home? Could we have, you know what I'm saying? Where's the line here?
That's
right?
Such a good business
with
idea.
An Elvis impersonator, maybe?
Ooh, he just took all the fun out of it.
Could we have
Elvis
bikini taxidermy? Like, where's the line here where we're saying we're no longer allowing bikini? Who's it? Can we have, I don't know. I got to really curtail my jokes here. Really got to work on my...
I think surgery is where we draw the line, just from a cleanliness
perspective.
I'd be
cool. You know, you want to give me a nice... I got a deviated septum. Got to get that taken care of. I could have a nice bikini deviated septum. That might be good for me, right?
You guys? Sure. Bikini Botox?
I'm just saying that when we say that this is acceptable, and okay, what about... Hey, bikini elder care for everybody. That's going to go great, right? I just feel like at a certain point in time, you got to say we shouldn't probably welcome this into as a culture. I'm not saying laws. I'm not interested in the state getting involved.
You're thinking higher level think. I get you.
Right. It's the kind of thing where I don't think that you can legislate good culture. I think this just has to come from people who intrinsically want to try to live in a better society. So, again, these bikini barista places, you find them in California, Arizona, Montana. Often they use social media to say, hey, look at these bikini ladies, which, again, is weird and creepy. I don't know. I need to talk to a guy who actually says, like, yeah, I go to these bikini baristas because it does something for me. Because if you bring me that man, I have a decent amount of therapy that maybe I could walk him through to try to help him with this issue, right?
I know several guys who love these joints. I don't go to them. I've been to them on occasion. I've driven through. For research purposes, of course. I know you're not buying any of that.
For research purposes.
But I know guys who will tell you that, hey, the girls are nice. It's flirtatious. That makes me feel good. It's safe.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Well.
It's a good-looking woman saying nice things to this guy, and he doesn't get that very often.
Yeah. I got flirted with the other day.
Felt good, right?
No, because I didn't know she was actually flirting with me. I didn't realize it until afterwards that she was flirting with me. Yeah. So, you know, I went to go donate blood.
Yeah.
The young lady who was taking very attractive young lady who was taking my blood out of my body.
Yeah.
And she starts talking to me about tattoos. Where do you get your tattoos? There's a tattoo expo coming up. Do you ever go to tattoo expos? Mm-hmm. And the whole time I'm just selfish and narcissistic, so I'm not realizing that she's scaffolding a place for her and I to go hang out.
Yes, she is. She's throwing you line bone after bone.
So then, I would say 24 hours later, I'm on the phone with my ex-wife, and she said, what'd you do last week? And I said, I gave blood, and she wants to hear about it. So I'm telling her about, there's this really attractive lady there, and she starts asking me about my tattoos. And then she goes, hey, there's this tattoo expo. Do you want to do that? And then Sarah goes, you realize that she was flirting with you, right? It sounds like she was flirting with you. And I go, dang it! Why is it my ex-wife has to point this out to me?
I don't know. I think anybody with a pulse might have picked up on that.
I know. And now she gets to shame me now because she has this over my head. She gets to lord it over my head. I care about women.
Did you guys make a date to come back and get blood in the future? You going back to the same nurse there?
Yeah, how much blood do you have in your body?
Yeah.
Here's
the thing. They only let you give every 8 weeks.
Oh, she's going to get snapped up by
I
then.
Know. This is my fault entirely.
Have Spike give blood, and you can accompany him.
Yeah, but
that'll do. Yeah, we'll go under me as a first time. I'll say I'm a first timer.
Like, hey, this is my special needs Uncle Spike.
Rolling good needles.
Exactly. So then
have a big heart. You're such a kind person to bring
old
Spike in.
Yeah. Heart, and then we can go to the tattoo expo. All right. Speaking
we can
of
coffee on the way home, I know the
yeah,
spot.
Of course we can. I go to the old bikini barista. No stupid questions. My favorite segment of the day, where I don't get upset and I don't yell at people and I don't get passive aggressive and I most certainly don't storm out of the studio afterwards because I'm so mad. That's never happened. It's never happened to any time this has ever occurred.
Never, never, ever.
I've never gotten so mad that I continue yelling about texts well into the commercial break, to the point where Laura and Spike just stop acknowledging me, and then I run
keeping
out
our heads down.
Of steam. 888-973-5476 is the text line. We'll do that when we get back right after this.
No stupid questions.
Only stupid answers. No stupid questions. My favorite segment of the day where we get to speak to the audience. First time texter, Tammy, wrote such a sweet question. I like first time texters because I get to be nice to them. Says, I have a question for Jack on the gun topic. We were talking about high capacity magazines being ruled, the ban on them being ruled unconstitutional, and now we can all have guns again. Hey! That's not as loud as I want it to be. There we go. All right, so anyway, I'm curious what his answer is about why anyone would need a high-capacity magazine. Not disagreeing with his point, I'm 100% a gun rights American who owns guns. I just think that if it's one way that we could help fix with the continual shootings, why not? I love your show and listen every day. First time texting, and thank you, Tammy. Okay, so let's decontextualize this for 2 seconds.
Okay.
Why don't we see more murders with samurai swords? Anyway, the samurais are a very deadly weapon, right? It's a big, long, it's very, very sharp, right?
Probably because they're, what's the word I'm looking for? Inefficient.
But they're incredibly efficient, right? In the hands of somebody who knows how to use a samurai sword, I mean, I don't know if you've
got to do each one individually, and it takes, you got to reach back, I mean, swing through.
Bruce Willis had no experience with samurai swords, and he was able to take out a ne'er-do-well in Quentin Tarantino's 1994 seminal classic.
Just one ne'er-do-well, right?
Point being, okay, so this is my thought about it. When you say, like, but here's the thing, there's samurai swords, people get stabbed every day.
Sure do.
Right?
Yeah.
What you're basically saying is that, well, if we just limit the size of a knife, wouldn't that help with the amount of stabbings that occur within the United States? And the answer is no. The most commonly used tool in murder when it comes to blunt force, you know what it is?
Uh-uh.
A hammer.
Really?
A regular store-bought hammer, most commonly used weapon when someone kills somebody else with just bludgeoning to death, is a hammer. Would making hammers smaller solve that issue? Like, that's what I'm saying.
You have to hit a guy 9, 10, 12 times with a little hammer.
little ball peen hammer.
Tiny little ding, ding, ding. So Bruce Willis had to stab that guy 23 times with a little knife.
Right. So when it says, when I think that's one way that could help with the continual shootings, it actually wouldn't help with the continual shootings, because if I don't have a high capacity magazine, I can still go out and commit shootings. Japan has a ban on firearms. As a private citizen, you cannot own one. A guy was able to make a pirate gun out of tools that he bought from a convenience or an electric store.
Sure, yeah.
And he killed Shinzo Abe with basically a shotgun. So if people want to do it, they're going to find a way to do it. The question is, I think, is a mental health issue more so than anything else.
That's very true.
So you're saying you eat steak is toxic masculinity. Is there anything men can do that isn't toxic? Yes, it's not by reframing somebody's argument by saying, so you are saying, right? Because when somebody does that, know that that is the way that people are trying to diminish or devalue what you're saying. So what you're saying is, Spike, that you don't want anybody to have guns? So what you're saying is, Spike, is that you don't think anybody should be able to own an assault rifle? It is a disingenuous way to argue, and I think that people should get rid of it. I did not say that eating steak is toxically masculine. What I'm saying is that the presentation of what masculinity should be is toxic when it involves these kinds of esoteric or, I don't know, vague concepts of what it means to be a man, right?
Agreed.
So
that story with the steak, we're talking about Nick Adams, the Trump campaign surrogate. You know, it's not toxic to order a steak. Steaks are great. I love steaks.
Yeah.
But when you tell the waiter, go away and bring me a very sexy woman to wait. I want a very sexy woman to wait on my table.
Yeah, exactly.
That's toxic.
Exactly.
When you say that women need to be put in their place and, you know, that makes you a powerful man, that's toxic.
Right.
When you order a tomahawk steak for two and eat it all by yourself at the meal that the reporter is paying for, that makes you just a bit of a D-bag.
Right. So, like, toxic masculinity is very similar to toxic femininity, but we don't often frame it in that way, which is just kind of universal toxic behavior that needs to be addressed.
Well put.
So I think that when you say, is there anything that men can do that isn't toxic? Maybe this is a good place to start. Listening is a great way. Listening, intently listening with purpose is a great way to avoid being toxic, right? That's really good. Not listening is indeed very toxic, and then strawmanning somebody's argument is even more toxic. Hey, speaking of men and masculinity, John Curley, a man who has more steroids in his body than the entirety of the Russian Federation of Athletes.
that's saying something.
It's saying something. He will be coming on in a couple of few, because there's this new report out about the Alec Baldwin Rust shooting that happened.
Yep.
Pretty interesting. Now, I don't have an experience being on set with this kind of stuff, but John does. Elon Musk is being called to Brazil based on the free speech thing that happened in Brazil with that journalist who said those awful things about that trans person and then had to pay a fine. He's not happy about it. And the state GOP chair files 3 new initiatives for Washington voters. Find out what they are when we get back right after this.